Hello, and welcome to Art Table's podcast series, Artist Perspectives. I'm Jessica Porter, Art Table's Executive Director, and I'm looking forward to sharing this series with you. Since 1980, Art Table is the leading professional organization devoted to supporting women in the visual arts. Through our national membership network and community initiatives, we expand opportunities for women from diverse backgrounds at all stages of their careers, fostering a stronger future for women in the arts. Art Table's Artist Perspectives podcast puts Art Table members in conversation with women artists at the forefront of their practice. This series is supported by the Paulette Krasner Foundation, established in 1985 for the sole purpose of providing financial assistance to individual visual artists. Each artist in this series has benefited from the generosity of the Paulette Krasner Foundation through their grant program.
Born in Santiago, Chile in 1954, artist Soledad Salomé currently lives and works in Baltimore, Maryland. In 2017, Soledad's print series, Women's March, captured the sentiments and scenes at the Women's March in Washington, D.C., archiving the witty and powerful visual language of protest signs like "Now you've upset Grandma" and "Drain the Cabinet." These works were carefully constructed and printed to be distributed widely and displayed poignantly. You're about to hear Soledad's interview with Jenny Hirsch, friend and scholar. Jenny has written extensively about Soledad's practice, and the two have a long-standing friendship. Here, Jenny and Soledad consider her work as an important documentation of underrepresented issues. The conversation reveals Soledad's status as an artist and her impact and influence on the practices of Baltimore-based artists, notably through her print studio, Sol Print Studios. This episode that truly highlights printmaking as a democratic medium took place at the Shelley and Donald Rubin Foundation space, the 8th floor.
Thank you, Jessica, for the warm welcome, and thank you, Imogene, also, and everyone at our table for facilitating this. I know there's a million details that we don't all see that are always required to make things happen, and I'm delighted to be in such a nice space with a beautiful show. And I'm even more delighted to be in conversation with my dear friend, Soledad. So I think we should get started.
Okay.
Soledad, maybe what we could start with is you could tell us a little bit about your origins. How did you get started as an artist? How did you sort? What was your sort of trajectory moving towards print? And then we'll be able to think about print in conversation with other things within your work.
Okay, I was born in Chile, and when I was 17, in more or less on 1972, I left. I moved to Venezuela with my family and. There, I started studying at the Hans Neumann Institute, where there was a graphic and industrial design. A year later, I was awarded a grant from a new graphic design that was being formed by important artists from Venezuela, and they paid through all my studies there. It was called Centro de Enseñanza Gráfica. Graphic studies, I guess. I don't know how to translate it exactly in English. But I was so lucky because the teachers there were really good artists from Venezuela, and they brought printmaking through with techniques from France and printmaking with techniques from Poland. So one was more into the decorative arts, and the other one was more into theatrical, mezzotint, very strong, like the Polish. I'm not saying the French are not, but I'm saying there was two different ways to go about it. So I was extremely lucky to be part of the school. I graduated with honors, and that's how I started.
And this was sort of, I mean, when we talked about this, this was kind of a golden age in Venezuela.
Totally the golden age in Venezuela. I mean, it was wonderful to see Cruz Diez, and Gego used to be a teacher at the Hans Neumann Institute. Even though I didn't take classes with her, I had several opportunities where I talked to her. And, of course, I went to one of her classes, but I almost fainted. I'd run out because it was so complicated in geometry. But her work was so fabulous. And at that time, Venezuela really produced such amazing artists. It still produced really amazing artists, but those, I could be very close to the work of Gego, of Cruz Diez, of Soto, and they had great museums. And what amazed me the most of Venezuela is that they're, every weekend people would go to every show with the kids, with everything. So they have a really interesting culture.
Active scene.
Yes.
So we're going to be, as we move through the conversation, thinking about print and its relationship in many ways to work you've done that's political. And one, I think, thread that's really consistent is your interest in the environment.
Yes.
And what's happening with the environment, with global warming and climate change. And also, I think in a lot of these works, one thing that I think we can think about is the relationship between geography and also climate, and how that has a, there's a political twist in there. So this is early in 83.
80s.
Yeah.
The work in the 80s. The 90s was different. The difference between the 80s and the 90s for me was I was more looking at what surrounded me, the earth, really, mm-hmm. here, from here. Before it was from above. But it also, in the 80s, I was really questioning myself with the idea of time. And time didn't make, I mean, I felt in some ways that man had gone to the moon, and what was I doing with a paintbrush in my hands? I really couldn't understand that. I was trying to figure out where I was going to go with my work, because I was really having trouble with that. And that was one of the things why to come to the United States was very important for me, because time here kind of goes really fast. And I like the fast pace. So this was the place, because I was in Europe and I felt that everything was too slow for me there for some reason.
So you migrated, you were... Let's just recap for a minute. Chile to Venezuela, then you were in Europe, and then you went from Europe.
I came back to
the U.S.
To the Venezuela, Venezuela, U.S.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you were in the D.C. area and then ended up in Baltimore, settling down.
Yes.
Okay. So I wanted to talk about the North and South Pole project for a couple of reasons. One reason is I want to hear you talk about it in terms of climate, but also in terms of how, for you, one of the things that I think is the most exciting aspects of your work is the way in which you make print talk to other media. And so print becomes, you know, there's print on the wall here, there's print on the sculptures here, and there's really a kind of conversation between materials.
Yeah.
Maybe you could talk a little bit about that in this
project. Print for me is the place where I take my notes. Is the buffer zone where I go from print to sculpture or print to painting. And that's where all my ideas are created. And usually, depending on the project that I'm researching and working with, the subject matter will dictate the materials I'm using. So, in this was when I went to the north of Chile, to Alma, where they have the largest telescope site in the world, where they're studying the particles of the Big Bang. That's how close they can get to seeing what is happening with our universe. And so I was trying to portray my experience in with the satellites, and I decided to do the North and South Pole. I did silkscreen on the wall. The sculptures were meant to be, if you saw them from one side, they were meant to be flat, and if you saw them from the other side, you would see that was three-dimensional. So I was playing with the idea of flatness in the wall and 3D and go back and forth with that.
Okay, so you did another series, the Territory series, and this is one of my favorite series in terms of how you work with paper in this kind of amazing, amazing way. These are so hard to translate digitally with the images, but maybe you could talk a little bit about the process with, I mean, we have on the slide, it explains there's printing, there's laser cutting, there's embossing, and there's sewing. And can you talk about what the series is about for us, and then maybe talk about the process also?
Sure. I wanted to do a three-dimensional sculpture with paper. And I discovered this book of Emmett Going at the Corcoran Gallery. It was called Changing the Earth. And he used in this book all aerial views of the earth where man and humans have touched and changed the surface of the earth with mining, with cars, with chemicals, with whatever. But I went crazy when I saw this work. I really loved it and selected four images from his book to recreate in three-dimensional. And each image has the page number. Page 12 is in sewing. And I actually got in touch with him thanks to the Print Center in Philadelphia. And they put me in touch. And he was super happy that I was able to use his image to create this three-dimensional piece. That you see his work and you see the three-dimensional piece is so different.
Right.
There's, if I don't tell you that I took this image from page 12, you wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Seeing at the...
Yeah, I think one of the things that's, it's this is another sort of thread we can see in your work, and we'll see a couple of more projects, which is why I'm mentioning it, is that you often have this amazing way of taking images and transforming them. And so there seems to be something for you about the mediated picture of something that you then kind of further manipulate and explore and kind of open up and kind of unravel, which I think is really interesting. Can you talk a little bit about like why sewing?
Well, I just love paper.
Okay.
And paper itself is so beautiful. And if you are going to emboss or do something to the paper, it was just so clean looking and so perfect that the lines wouldn't have come out right if I would have used a pencil. It had to be something related that would make holes. It would make also an indentation in the paper.
Yeah, it gives it a texture, but it also, for me, it kind of adds another layer of mapping.
Exactly.
Like there's something really beautiful about all the different sort of textures of mapping that reminds me a little bit of the kinds of maps you would see when you're in school and the way there are different color-coded things and different, you know, dotted lines and dash lines and things like that. And this seems to almost have its sort of own internal coding going on. That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's it creates this tension between sort of the handmade craft and then something more mechanical.
Yeah, and I wanted to keep the integrity of the paper too. And so I didn't want to use pencil or colors or anything. It was just very clean looking, and I liked that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's another one. This is Salt Lake, Nevada.
No, this is Nevada.
Oh, this is just Nevada.
Yeah, this is Nevada.
So this is another one you can see that looks very different.
Yeah.
Can we talk a little bit about this industrial series where you looked at different structures and you represented them on felt?
Yeah.
This is really interesting in terms of the print aspect.
Yes. Well, this came before. This is work I did with Judy Solotskin here in New York. With solo impressions. And it was about, I did a whole research about industrial zones, not only in when I was traveling through the United States between Baltimore and New York, but also in Chile. And I did a show, part of my show was about in photography and in print. Mm-hmm. But after I won it with Judy, she did all the embroidery in the work, and it was really wonderful. But I wanted to do more three-dimensional. So that's when Territories came after this.
The paper pieces.
The paper pieces came after this, yeah.
So let's just look at a couple more examples from this series. So you have the Brooklyn
Bridge.
It's really beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, and one thing you can't quite see, but I'll describe, is some of the sewing on this is really sort of iridescent and just sort of glows.
It's all the embroidery. It's really beautiful. Yeah. It was a very difficult project, too. That the Gehry building, when you come down, coming down from the Brooklyn Bridge, you can see the building, and it was so impressive to see how it undulates. And I was trying to do, so we cut the felt to create.
So you start with photographs.
I start with photographs.
And then you print onto the felt.
Exactly.
And then she would embroider.
Exactly.
Maybe we could talk a little bit now about the Gulf Distortion series, because I feel like that's another series where you're sort of putting print to use in connection with the environment.
Okay, so this series came with a trip that I made with my husband, who is a photographer, to the Gulf of Mexico after Deepwater Horizon oil spill in 2011, I think it was. And we tried to photograph the area, and we tried to get... We went from Venice to Grand Isle. We drove. We actually slept even in the van to try to get close to what was happening. And they wouldn't let us. Police would stop us. They wouldn't let us go in. And so we kind of talked to the fishermen there and asked them if they could give us some notion of what was happening, if what they were doing about it, because the whole shrimp industry was stopped with this. And they couldn't tell us anything because they were not allowed. And they were helping clean up with BP. They were helping clean up the area. So they couldn't say much. So the first line was about the marshes. The second one was about flooding. The third line was about the shrimp industry. And the fourth line is the oil companies and all of them, even nature, trying to find a space for themselves in nature. And the oil was printed in a different shiny paper, reflective paper. So we put through a fax machine our photographs. And where we were doing this was in St. Francis Neighborhood Center, which is an old house. And the lines there have
I just want to interrupt so everyone knows. St. Francis, it's in Reservoir Hill, which is the area where Soledad lives in Baltimore.
Yeah, thank you. And so the fax machine couldn't handle all the information from the TIFF images. And because this is an old construction, it's an old house in the neighborhood, there's a lot of noise in the lines. So all that noise created the pixelated images, what became almost like a barcode.
So maybe we can switch gears now and talk about, there's two series that Sol did in the last few years that relate directly to politics, both very locally in Baltimore with Freddie Gray, and then afterwards with the Women's March.
Yeah.
So, and maybe you could talk a little bit about solar etching. And this was a series you did of prints. I have just three of them.
There were five images, but I put only three.
Yeah, we're showing you only three. And maybe you can talk about a couple of things. One is, what motivated you to make these images? Mm-hmm. How do you, you know, how does this, in a way, how are they different from just photographs of what was going on as the Freddie Gray story was unfolding? And you could talk about...
Okay. So I was just coming back from the Dominican Republic. I was selected...
You had a residency, right?
A residency there for 12 weeks. and Altos de Chabón. And one of the things that really struck me was the conditions were horrible, but people were still happy, but they were really awful. So when I came here, I felt like my work, that me looking at the space and everything, didn't make much sense when I looked at what was happening around me. And we have a video about that, the Dominican Republic and what it was happening around there with the plantations. And so when I came to Baltimore, 3 weeks later, like 3.5 blocks from my house, the whole Freddie Gray outcome started. And I got really involved because for the first time, I had come from a country where I had felt all these injustices. And this injustice to Freddie Gray, it was because of the police brutality and the police totally out of control. 10 helicopters running 24 hours a day in our area. And actually, there's a perfect example. You were at my house, and suddenly we hear a whole bunch of noise in my backyard. And here we have all these policemen jumping into my backyard with machine guns. And I'm just like, ridiculous, like a movie. And I'm like, what? Stop. Don't throw my door down. Don't. We're coming down. And I'm like, what is wrong? I mean, it was like so exaggerated for what was happening. It was like, then you realize that they're really out of control. The police is out of control, and they're targeting African-Americans in a really injustice way. And so for me, it was very important to do the series and portray what was happening, really.
And can you talk about the actual imagery, the photographs? How did the photographs then become the prints? And
okay, so I took the photographs, mm-hmm. and then I put them through Photoshop. Mm-hmm. I make them in black and white. I create different contrast and grays, and then I do some monoprint on it to create, to pay attention to the sign and what was happening. It's a document, you know, of what is happening. It really impressed me how many people and their where they are.
Yeah, one of the things I think that's really nice is the way you highlight the signage and how people express themselves through signage and how they end up having these kind of very efficient messages that are short, and you know how that, you know, that ends up being their voice.
Exactly.
So this, which you did both as an artist book, and you have, I think, one print that's larger?
Yes, exactly. So for this book, what was happening was I just had surgery on my foot, and I couldn't walk. So it was out of the question that I was going to go to the Women's March.
In D.C.
In D.C. I did go to the one in Baltimore where Hopkins is, but so I asked all my friends that were going down to take a photograph with a landmark and a sign. So I received over 200 images from my friends, and I made a selection. And I had a table where there were the maybes and the ones that I thought they were very strong. I was very impressed with the images that I received. I was like, I couldn't believe I received such amazing images. And so I selected 9 images. Some of these are from Baltimore, from where John Hopkins is.
Oops.
And
sorry.
I felt kind of, what happened to me with this was I felt totally, I froze, really. I couldn't continue doing my artwork, my environmental work, not only because I couldn't walk, but because I was listening to the news, and I was like, this is going to be happening again, all over again. I have traveled 2 times from one country to the next for political reasons or whatever. And I don't want to have this happening here in the United States. I thought we had to defend our democracy somehow. And so this project gave me the strength to move forward with my work.
For you, it seems like print is a tool sometimes to give a treatment to a substrate, whether you're somehow manipulating or treating paper or treating glass. But in other times, print, there's something more metaphorical about it. And I feel like the series we looked at, the Freddie Gray and the Women's March, I feel like they're prints that are, they're very documentary. They're showing what was happening. They're, you know, kind of lifting them out of photography. But they're also, to me, they're also about print media. They're about the way in which, you know, we experience news. You know, I went to the march in Washington, but I feel like I experienced it in two different ways. I experienced it being there with my oldest friend in the world that I met at a birthday party in third grade. We went together with her daughter, who's older than we were when we met. But I also experienced it through the media afterwards and then through projects like Soledad's. So I feel like it's really interesting because print is not just a medium that you use as a tool. You have prints that are prints. You have prints that are prints on top of other things. And then there are these prints that to me seem to be about print, about the news, about how we digest information and the way in which that information is manipulated.
Yeah. Well, prints is a great way to protest and to document what is happening around us. And, you know, the Mexicans were really great on that. And mm-hmm. there's, I think, because there's so, you can do an edition and you can do so many copies of a print is a good way to reach people, mm-hmm. to tell them what is going on with the environment, what is going on with social, political issues. Mm-hmm. So it's a good way to inform. And because you do so many multiples, it's important. I think print is very important. Well, I started the studio in 2009 when the stock market crashed. And museums were struggling, and my galleries were closing. And I thought to myself, what am I to do now? And what do I know what to do and what I can say? And I thought printmaking was a good way to start. And so I advertised to people in Baltimore. I was not interested in doing so many editions for people. I was not interested in that. I'm more interested in discussing a project with the artist and developing that project with the artist and then create a whole different volume of work. And it has been pretty successful. I've learned a lot from the artist, and the artists have learned a lot from me. It's a collaboration, pretty much. And I'm really thankful for all the people who are in Baltimore that has supported my studio, because many people have asked me to go nonprofit, and I said, no, I don't want to do that. I just want to keep the studio as small as it is and continue my work too at the same time. So did I answer your question?
As someone...
I'm one of the artists, okay? Yeah. That her involvement with the arts community in Baltimore, like, I hate these things, has been really a boon for a number of artists that have worked with her. Soledad is a fabulous, fabulous collaborator. And I'm not just saying that, otherwise I wouldn't be in her studio. But I do think that what I have learned, because I was not a printmaker, she drew me into this process of printmaking, and it's something that I have learned a lot from. So I thank you, Soledad. Oh. I thank you for being me.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was just going to add something. I teach art history full-time at the Maryland Institute College of Art, which is just a few blocks from where Soledad lives and works in her studio. And what I think is so exciting about the studio is that I've sort of, in so many ways, in different moments in my 12 years of teaching in Baltimore, have suddenly realized that colleagues of mine, people I meet at openings, so many artists from so many different parts of the art world in Baltimore and beyond have come to Soledad as painters, as photographers, from different media in some cases, from within printmaking, and they've come at different levels. There are people who've come to learn, how do I do artwork? And then there are people who've come in who are at the top of their game with very serious careers in blue chip galleries who do series of prints. And yeah. Soledad is able to work with them on all different levels, which I think is really, really exciting. And the other thing I want to say as an educator and artist in Baltimore is that she's also done a lot of work working with the St. Francis Center that she mentioned, working with local neighbors in Reservoir Hill where she lives. So she's been incredibly generous and able to translate the importance of art making, I think, to all different parts of the community.
Thank you.
The Artist Perspectives podcast series is just one way that Art Table works to support all women in the arts. To find out more about our initiatives for the advancement of women's leadership, please visit us at arttable.org.